Times Square has been called the crossroads of the world. A new tourist attraction that opened there this month displays much of the world under one roof in miniature form. Models of Asia, Africa, Europe, and the Americas comprise the new exhibit, Gulliver's Gate. WBGO's John Kalish went to check it out.
I want to see it.
Among the first visitors to Gulliver's Gate on opening day, a sixth-grade social studies class from Middle School 51 in Brooklyn.
On top of the Brooklyn Bridge, you can see like a little Spider-Man right at the edge.
11-year-old Brianna Jordan stood next to her friend Adele Ho, who is also 11. Ho got a kick out of the model of England, which included Buckingham Palace, the Tower Bridge, an amphitheater where the Beatles were performing, and a movie theater filled with animals.
If you look really closely, there are actually penguins inside the theater watching Happy Feet.
12-year-old Nicholas Kawasaki noticed a famous vessel in the ocean.
Under the British Isles, there's the Yellow Submarine. Under the European Union, there's Nautilus. Two submarines.
Yeah, you're into submarines.
Submarines are cool.
Gulliver's Gate not only offers Lilliputian versions of exotic lands, it also recreates New York City, which impressed 12-year-old Kate Flanick, who walked through Times Square en route to the exhibit.
It's really cool. When you first enter, I saw New York, Times Square, and it was really beautiful. Everything in Times Square, you would know, like, this is what it was.
One kid who has never been outside the United States said the models at Gulliver's Gate made her want to travel. The kids from this Brooklyn middle school liked the interactive exhibits where a skeleton key is used to make such objects as Santa Claus and the Loch Ness Monster move. Though plastic is used in much of the exhibit to convey bodies of water, there's actual H2O in the miniature Iguazu Falls in Argentina and the working Panama Canal. That's a barge moving through the working locks. Gulliver's Gate was inspired by Miniatur Wunderland in Hamburg, which has more than a million visitors each year. The owner of that German tourist attraction declined to partner with Gulliver's Gate, and initially so did the team behind Grand Maquette Russia.
So I said, no problem. I'll have it built in Italy as part of the European model. And the owner there said to me, oh no, Italians will not build Russia.
That's Aaron Gazit, the CEO of Gulliver's Gate. He tapped his son's high school teacher to serve as chief technology officer on the project. Matthew Cote says he doesn't mind visitors seeing the metal rods that lift airplanes off the runways or the 6-inch satellites on the ceiling that control hundreds of tiny vehicles that move.
As a matter of fact, in places, we want them to see the computers that live under the tables. We want them to see the blinking lights. Because that's part of the fun. That's part of what makes nerds like me go, wow, how did they do that?
They did it by taking liberties with geography and deploying human figures less than an inch tall.
The model makers use the figures to tell stories by placing them in particular ways.
Tim Gilman Shefcheek is artistic director of Gulliver's Gate.
You read their position, you look at the details. We call it reading a scene. You get to see this kind of juxtaposition that we have here of somebody being loaded onto an ambulance, and on the rooftop just overhead, there's a party going on. So it's showing that the city has innumerable stories running in parallel all the time. But we would like to think that none of these figures, these tens of thousands of figures that we have placed here, were not placed randomly. Each one can be looked at as being placed with a purpose, with a story to tell.
For a fee, visitors to Gulliver's Gate can step into a 3D scanner and have a tiny plastic replica of themselves printed out and placed in the exhibit. For the WBGO Journal, I'm John Kalish.